Thank you for tuning in to Sermoncast, the audio channel for the preaching ministry of Christ Church. You can learn more about Christ Church by visiting ccnh.org.
It's a blessing also when things kind of come together that I hadn't planned. And for Pastor Paul to share those words from Ephesians, those of you who are visiting here from Light of the World today, we've been studying through Ephesians together as a congregation these last several weeks. And so you've kind of fallen right into our study with that. So love it when a plan comes together. If you have your copy of the scriptures, we're in Ephesians chapter 4 today. I'm going to share briefly with you from Ephesians 4. And just a reminder to those who've been a part of this study from the beginning. Back in chapter 1, we discovered and we rejoiced in those words that God chose us. He predestined us. He chose us to be adopted as His sons and daughters. In other words, He wanted us in relationship with Him. And we rejoiced in that. We rejoiced in the fact that He made this decision, this choice. He did this action in time past. And it's realized in our lives here and now. We got to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, we saw how He did it. We saw that He literally took us from death in sin to life in Christ. And we rejoiced and celebrated in that. We saw that He did it because of His love, not because of anything that was in us that was worthy or necessitated Him to do that. He did it in His love. And we saw what was accomplished in that was what He, Paul, told us was the great mystery. That the line of division was erased, was removed. There were no longer Gentile followers of Christ and Jewish followers of Christ, but the mystery was that now we're one. The two had become one. And what we had in common was Jesus. We also saw in chapter 2 that we are His artwork. That word poema that we looked at in chapter 2, verse 10. We're God's artwork. He's painting a beautiful picture that is our life and our lives together. And that picture was begun in time past, and now it's our time on this stage, this scene in the epic, for that picture to come to pass, to fruition, to life. We got to chapter 3, and we discovered that we're called to be Scooby-Doo. We're called to reveal that mystery. That's what Scooby-Doo did, right? Pulled the monster face off and revealed it wasn't a monster after all. We're called to reveal this now. Paul said it's the church that will demonstrate this now. This thing that God has accomplished in making us one in Him. We're one family. We bear our Father's name, no matter what labels we wear. And we rejoiced in that. What a picture that is. And we come to chapter 4, and now we get the nuts and bolts of what that looks like. What does it look like in your life? What does it look like in my life? As we step into this scene of the epic, our role that God had created for us. So there in chapter 4, I want to begin in verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bear with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Paul begins this chapter by saying, listen, I'm imprisoned here. He's on that house arrest in Rome, you remember. And he says, most important, it's time for you to live up to that calling. Back in chapter 1, that call that God placed on a life, it's important that you walk in that call. And this is how you'll do it. And he gives us a bunch of verbs to live a life worthy of the calling. You'll be humble. You'll be gentle. You'll be patient. You'll bear with one another in love. Do you realize that all of that has to do with how we relate to one another? Humble, gentle, bearing with one another. Paul says this is what it's going to look like. The two are no longer two. Now they're one. This is what it's going to look like. And your part is going to include these verbs. Be these things. Be the body of Christ in this way. Humble, gentle, patient, and bear with one another. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, that which we have in common. And then seven times the number one in one sentence. Do you think he wanted to get a point across? My dad used to do that. He'd say things over and over. I'd tell him, I heard you 11 times the first time you said it. One, we have something that knits us together. It makes us one. And it overrules everything else. Some of you know that when I was in Florida, going through Bible college and seminary, I worked as an assistant teacher in a preschool with four-year-olds. And looking back on that season of my life, I believe they had me there for one reason and one reason only, and that was to help the little boys who couldn't make it through the day without the potty. And really reflecting, I'd tell you that if they'd have paid me by the pound instead of the hour, I'd have been a wealthy man. I was the poop guy. I mean, there's not a delicate way to say it. In that preschool class, we had this little boy named Cody Fears, coolest little boy I'd ever met. His mom was a part of the staff of the school, so everyone knew him and loved him like their own. Cody, when he was an infant, was diagnosed with a very rare form of cancer. And as an infant, he lost one of his eyes to that cancer. Now, the very good news is that's all he lost, and the cancer was taken care of, so he was expected to live a full life. But he had a prosthetic eye. Now, you have a four-year-old with a prosthetic eye, and he thinks that's the coolest, especially a boy, thinks that's the coolest thing in the world. So part of my task was telling Cody to leave his eyeball alone, because he loved to pop it out, see? One day, the principal came to see us, the teacher, Beth, and myself, and said that we're going to have a new student start next week. Her name is Jessica, and we need to have a little bit of a conference before Jessica comes, because she's special. She had a special hand. In other words, she was born with a birth defect, and one of her hands was very different from the rest of the children. And you know, the four-year-olds, the five-year-olds, somebody's going to say something, whether they mean to or whether it's just in passing. And so we were trying to strategize. How do we welcome this girl into the class, make her at home, make the other children okay with this? And how do you prepare 4- and 5-year-olds for this eventuality? So we sat down with the children, with the principal, and told them next week this girl Jessica is going to come. And I think they actually used that word. She has a special hand. And it's a little different from the rest of our hands, but we're not going to say anything to her about it. It's okay, and she'll show us her hand. You know, she'll be okay with us in time. And, you know, how do you talk to these kids about this? Well, the day comes that Jessica arrives. And as everyone's noting that Jessica has a different hand, it's very obvious that she's conscious of it. She's hiding it. She's keeping it behind her as she plays and other things. We come to circle time. We're all supposed to sit on the carpet. That was another part of my job, get these little rugrats to sit down. And I sit down, and Jessica sits down next to me, and Cody dives in between us. And as the other children are still coming, I overhear Cody say, "You have a special hand." And Jessica's hand is behind her. "Yeah." And Cody says, "I got a special eye. Want to touch it?" Those two kids were the best of friends from that day on. Didn't matter that one was a boy, that one was a girl. Didn't matter that they had different likes and dislikes. They had a bond. They had a bond that was over and above everything else. We're together. We're one. And we have that. And how beautiful that we're at this text on a daily. Do you know this fell into place like quite by accident? Paul and I were talking Monday of this week. He said, "I'd really love to have the band as the light of the world." I said, "Too bad, we got him at Christ Church." No, I didn't. And no, he didn't. We said, "Hey, let's bring it together." And it's a little different. You know, don't we have two different kinds of bulletins here this morning? That really suggests to a visitor a divided church, doesn't it? You want one of these or one of these? And just wait until we get to the offering. Then it's going to get goofy, okay? But what a beautiful day. We are one. See, the name of our Father is ours. Our identity is in Christ. And we are called to walk in this life in this way. Look at verse 7. But now, those of you from Light of the World, I must subject you as I have Christ Church for 13 years. I love the word but. Everywhere you find it in the Bible, it jumps off the page at me. It should to you as well. You see, he speaks of this unity. We're one. But with the word but in verse 7, he introduces the fact that within this unity there is diversity. We are many parts brought together. And frankly, we're some funny looking parts. Just look around you. We're brought together as one. And it's this way because in verse 11, it was he who gave some. You see, God has brought the pieces together like this. That artwork, God has put the strokes on the canvas like this. And he has us to be one, but he has us to be gifted and burdened and passioned differently. And that's a good thing. That's how this body of Christ ministers. And as you look forward in that, in verse 11 and 12, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. See, this is that mystery again, being uncovered. It's our role to reveal this to a watching world. The diversity of our gifts, our burdens, our passions, our ministries, even our callings in ministry, united in Christ going forward, making a difference in this world, revealing our God to this world. Arundis, Namibia, Milford, Amherst, Merrimack, Nashua. Think about it. That's where our ministry is. It's not within the four walls of one congregation or another. It's where God has planted us. And this is what the walk looks like. I was thinking about walks. A walk tells you something about someone sometimes, doesn't it? They used to talk about John Wayne's walk. Then they talked about Frank Sinatra's walk. Some of you are looking at me going, John who? I read something this week that I didn't know. I read that John Wayne and Frank Sinatra did not like one another. And they actually spoke about one another in pretty negative terms. And speaking of Frank Sinatra's walk, John Wayne said he was dime store gangster. Speaking of John Wayne's walk, Frank Sinatra said he looked like he needed a diaper change. And we think of those walks, the world thinks of those walks, iconic from their films, as speaking to their toughness and their bravado. What does the world see of our walk? This is the picture of that walk. What does the world see of it? Does it see a church that really is these things, humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love? I suggest to you that if the world saw that, it might be surprised. Because it doesn't often see that in our experience. This is the walk that we're called to. I'll commit the rest of the chapter to you. Those of you who are with Christ Church, you've got the card in your bulletin, or if not, you can get it on the website if you didn't get one today. Take a look through this chapter. Note that verse 17 begins with the word so. He says, so, now that we understand this calling, who we are, so, this is what it ought to look like. This is what that walk looks like, more so. Verse 25, therefore, that putting off of the old life, putting on the new life, this is what that walk looks like. So we can watch our walk in the mirror. What does it say to us? More importantly, what does it say to a watching world? Are we this body of Christ? Are we those that he is chosen, called, adopted as his sons and daughters to bear his name, to bear his identity to a watching world? Are we those who've realized he took us from death and sin to life in Christ because he loved us, not because we deserved it? Are we those who understand that we're his artwork? We're what the world sees. Are we those who understand that our walk matters? whether it's in our home, in our community, with our friends on the other side of the world, our walk matters. Paul's given us a great address. A great address as congregations. We have a role as congregations, our own little unique DNA and role in the community. And he's spoken to us as individuals, because as individuals in Christ, we're part of that larger body. And what do we say of a body that's missing parts? It's handicapped. What do we say of a body that has to cover for parts that are missing or not functioning? You're the body of Christ. You're not brought together by accident or coincidence. This is what we understand. You're his son or his daughter because he chose you. And he loves, like any good parent, to brag on his kids to a watching world. Look at my children. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this letter. Thank you for the picture that it paints. Thank you for the challenge that it gives us. By your Holy Spirit, would you touch our lives that we might more resemble you, that we might more depict these things that is this walk worthy of the calling you've placed upon us. Father, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Your face.